Fred Film Radio, Festival du Cannes, France.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Federica Scarpa from the 76th edition of the Cannes Film Festival, and today I'm in company of João Salavita and René Nader-Messora, directors of the Burriti Flower in Uncertain Regard competition. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Federica.
First of all, would you like to introduce your film to our listeners?
The film is some sort of retrospective voyage in two periods of time of the Crow people. The Crow people are an indigenous community that lives in the north of Brazil, in the Cerrado, not in Amazonia. It's a different biome. And for them, as it's the same for all the indigenous peoples in Brazil, the land is part of their life, part of their body, part of their cosmology. So in this film, we make some sort of voyage in three periods of time of the Crow. In a way, how the state, how the colonizers, the farmers are trying to steal their land. So it's a film that reflects a lot all these fights, these invasions. But what really interests us is to film the resistance and how this resistance is renovated in different stages of the last 80 years. And especially now, particularly during the 4 years of Bolsonaro.
Yes, I think he goes. The land is the main concern of, I think, most of the indigenous peoples in our continent, not even in only Brazil. So we try to think how the relationship with the land is affected by these forces through times. That's what we try to show in this film.
Where does the idea of this film come from?
I think it's important to say something. Our work with the Crao doesn't start as an artistic or cinematography project. We are there for almost 10 years. For me, René, almost 15 years with the community. We spend long periods of time there. Now also with our daughter, who is 5 years old. She was given a name in the community. And of course, our connection with them has other implications, a part of cinema. So we film with a very big intimacy and a very strong, let's say, permission to be there. For example, this time we've been there for 15 months. It's almost 1 year and a half. It's something that no film in this festival spends this time with the people that they are filming. So things don't start as with our colleagues, like an idea, then a script, then you go funding, then you film. It's a totally different process. We are there for 15 months. Mm-hmm. We come with some rough idea of a film. We start to discuss it with the community. We start to see what kind of arrangements combining our cinematic interests, our desires of cinema, our desire of translating that reality into something that it's beautiful and useful, and at the same time with the ability to screen it in a community in the Amazonia, but also in a festival like Cannes. So obviously what happened in the last 4 years in Brazil, it would be impossible to make a film that would not reveal the struggles of the 4 years of Bolsonaro. They were really trying to perpetuate this genocide that lasts for 500 years in Brazil with the indigenous and the originary people. So the land is always a question. And for us, it was something a bit complex, but is it possible to make a film where the main character and the voice that speaks is the voice of the land? And we try to do it with them.
Yes, and I think there's something interesting, which is the work we do with the actors. When we start this process, we don't know exactly with whom we're going to work, and things they kind of say I will make this film. So when these people come together, we start to think together which part of their lives are interesting and how these parts can play together in a film, because Ruinon, for example, he's this guy, he's this struggling guy who is all the time from many years understanding the problems of the land and thinking how he could, you know, put together things to defend his people and the land. Patpro is this girl, which is really, she's a mother of four kids, and she's really concerned with the routine of the family, but she's also this girl who likes to travel, who wants to go abroad. She likes to film, so he made a small film and she won a prize in the state of Tocantins. So she's like really connected to everything that's happening. She loves Sonia Guajajara, which was a militant of the indigenous movement when we shot, and now she's a minister with the new government. So our work is like understand these forces and how they can play together and make this, you know, this idea come out.
In fact, I wanted to ask you, because watching your film, I was wondering how much was, let's say, documentary and how much it wasn't. So how you work with the protagonist? I wouldn't say actors, but yeah, I'd say protagonist. Yes. How do you work with them?
Friends. yes, you already answered. No, we want to... Of course, it's a fiction, mm-hmm, you know, because things didn't happen that way that we shoot. But everything that we shoot happened in a way. Mm. So we know when he tells the story of the spirit of the father when he's in this bus going to the mobilization, he tells this story. Of course, it happened 10 years ago, and he told us this story, and we brought the story to the film. These images from the land that a farmer just changed the marks of the FUNAI, which is the government agency for indigenous people. A farmer just changed the mark to steal the land and put his cattle. And we have this drone image in this cell phone. Huino was there. He talked to these farmers. He was like making that images. So 2 years ago, it's not like in the moment we are shooting, everything's happening. But these things are happening all the time. So it's like the film has a really, is really rooted in the reality of the people we shoot, this territory and the indigenous movement now, because we go far, no, we travel to understand a little bit what's happening in the country as well. So,
how do you work together in a film? How do you divide the work?
Well, I think that people don't notice this when they watch the film, but we were with two or three more foreigners in the village doing the film. So it's a micro crew of me, René, and three more persons, a part of the whole community who is with us and supporting and helping with the film. So it's really a micro crew, smaller than in many documentaries. So of course that this corporativist way of working in a movie where you are the cinematographer, you are the editor, you are the script, you are this, that, it doesn't work in this kind of collective way of thinking and collective way of acting while making a film. So of course the question of who does who, it's not,
doesn't apply.
We don't know.
And then we have a child as well, our kid, which was there with us, and then we have to buy some medicines for someone who is sick in the village, and then we have to prepare the material because we're gonna shoot, and we shoot in 60 millimeters, and so I don't know.
It's really like how a life project can be deeply connected in the practice of daily working and making a film. And when I say daily making a film, doesn't mean that we shoot the that we grab the camera and hold it and film every day. We sometimes the camera is for 1 month in the box.
1 month,
you know,
no, but 1 week.
1-2 weeks. Yes. And for example, now we have a little girl. She was 3 years old when we went to the village for the film. She was there even before, but for the shooting. And there is one part of the community that was still some sort of mystery for us. It was the kids, the children. For them, in the previews, 8 years before having Mira, our daughter, they would look at us a bit, who are these weirdos, 30 years old, no kids. For them, this is very bizarre. After we had Mira, we started to daily go to the river to bath. In the beginning, when the sun is up, and then in the end of the day. And when they saw us with Mira, they would start to join. And suddenly Mira started to make friends. And because Mira made friends, we started to have a relationship with the kids as well. And then we could film them and play with them.
With Mira. And
so it's...
Mira gave us an access...
I was going to say, yes. She was the key to...
Yes, exactly. She was the key to this.
She was the key.
Bright new thing that we are really in love, because it's when you... Well, it was a part of the community we didn't approach very much. Of course, the kids in our house, because when we live there, we live with the family. I have my sister, my everything. Everyone is living together, no? But now in Mira, it's like, you're like, okay, these guys are really cool.
Why the 6 millimeters? Why did you decide?
Everybody asked these questions, but it started with Shuva. Well, João has all his films in negative. He never shoots in video, so he's really fascinated about the video. And I'm
the video,
the film. I'm also really into negative. And when we started to think about the Dead and the Others, our previous film, and this reality of the Craô, this Cerrado, this bioma, which is really, really strong, it has a landscape really marcada, very...
Very characteristic landscape.
Yeah, and you have these tonalities of reds and greens, you know, and depends on the season. If it's dry season, it's everything is really brownish and really beautiful, and when it's... Raining, you have loads of greens. And we made some tests with the negative, and we were really happy with the... And, of course, we have... There's one thing as well, which is the equipment is really reliable. It's not going to fail. And since I shoot alone, I don't have a crew, a camera assistant or whatever... I need to be secure with my equipment. We film in extreme conditions. In the rain season, it's really humid. So we decided to go to the negative. And then we are like, okay, this is it. That's how we can capture this reality as we see and as we believe.
And you shot for 15 months, right?
Yes.
How was the editing at the end? Because I think there will be a lot of material. How?
No. Not
this
a lot.
This is also part of the ritual of shooting in 16 millimeters. We are really... We don't film when we... When there's nothing happening, basically.
Yes.
I know that it's really... We do it like old school fiction films. In the 30s or something like that, like Nanook of the North. You go there, you spend a long time, and you film slowly, and you film small periods of time because you don't have a lot of negative. You cannot film endlessly as you do in digital. But of course, we started the editing in the moment we got the first images from the laboratory. So of course the construction of the film also happens in that layer at the same time as the shooting. So we start to play with small pieces, and also in a way I think that the editing is a bit like the indigenous myths. You know, you can change characters from one place to the other. Suddenly you are in one time and a character becomes an animal, or you are in the future or in the past. So the way we film, which was not linear this time, and the way we start to edit, it's very playful, very complex at the same time, but it also involves the possibility of having the crowd watching the film every month and to see that building being made. And we start to put more and more pieces until we have something that satisfies all of us. So it's a big construction, but do it in a very slow way.
We only know that the film is edited when it finishes, because we can change everything, you know, from like that at the very until the very end. So, yes.
Watching your film, I got the impression that highlighting the power of storytelling, which is very important for the Crow tribe, was an essential aspect for you. Was that one of your intention?
No, absolutely. The film, it's also a possibility of working in some sort of no man's land, where the film, it's not an indigenous film in the sense that it was not done 100% by indigenous. But it's not a film where you arrive with a script and they just play something that you wrote before. So our idea was also to make something in the middle and collectively, and something that makes sense for them. In a way, everything that is said in the film, there is some conviction that they have in the words, in the stories. And what we also do is we rescue and we reorganize stories from the past, narratives from the past. For example, the massacre, the sequence of the massacre, which is very strong and very brutal in a way, it puts us in some very thick and dangerous line, because in a way we don't want to perpetuate the same images of indigenous being shot, being killed, as we see in so many films or in the news or on TV. But at the same time, they want to tell that story. So what we do is we took a narrative that was recorded by the main actor 10 years ago by one of the survivors of the massacre in the 40s.
Which was his grandfather.
Which was his grandfather. And basically we write all those lines that we took from that old man, and that becomes the script that organizes those 20 minutes of film. This is a good example. In other moments, they improvise on subjects or themes that they want to talk about. For example, when the two girls are talking about the shamanism in the female perspective, this is something that it's also very present in the film.
Appears the female perspective.
The female perspective. How the film is also proposing maybe a different lecture of a possible feminism movement, an indigenous way of being a feminist woman, which is totally different than our Western European conceptions of what feminism is, because there is a network of secrets and games and demandings and power between women, and in the end we understand that the Karao is a society where women, although they sometimes look that, oh, they are in the house with the kids, what does this mean in our perspective, but in the end we understand that the houses where the women are, they are kind of a big circle around the patio, which is the place where the guys are discussing, deciding what to do. So we also wanted to make a film where you feel this network of the women. The guys maybe are there fighting and etc., but you always have the girls talking, should we go or not to Brasilia? Why the hell are you going to participate in this ruler guard in the 70s during the dictatorship, when the guys were cooptated to be part of an official militia? And you always have the woman perspective saying, maybe this is not a good way.
And that's how That's a good example of how we play fiction, because this is a story of the old lady, which was a shaman, was told for us by one person which is really, really close to us. It's an old lady, and she go through this process, but she's not related to Patpro, Nick, or Koto. But we really wanted them to talk about in that scene. So they went to this old lady. The old lady told her them the story, and then they reenacted in this sequence. So I think it's a good example of how, and it only can happen when you live in a community and you are like listening and seeing these things for a long time. Otherwise, I would not have that idea. You know, I would not like think about it. So
thank you very much, René, Joao,
thank you.
And this is Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.